Well, I don't know if it's the Spirit of the Lord, but Mike, you almost stole my message.
Amen.
Well, we're going to reach on Hoover Dam? No. Talk about trials and trials. No, not the Hoover Dam. I don't know anything about it. I learned a lot. But, no. And also the song we just sang about the trials and the, it says, in our joys and in our sorrows, days of toil and hours of ease, still he cares and pleasures. Christian, love these, follow me. Christian, love me more than these. So, I am not a Michigander. I am an Okie. I got here as quickly as I could. And I've been on the mission field with my husband now for 42 years. And one year less than Mike and Susan. We came a year after them. So it's been a pleasure to have been a part of Mexico for 12 years and to serve there. And now in Poland, we've been there 30 years. That's hard to believe. Unbelievable. I'm trying not to knock this thing off this year. As always, I want to thank all of you for your support and especially for your prayers for all these years, not just now, but in the past and in the future. We have got so much that, you know, we know things are not going to get better. Things are tended to get worse, and we know that. We need more and more to pray and to be holding each other up. We hold you up. We hold your pastors up here, that they might preach the word and give the word as they see fit in the word. And I just want to also bring you greetings from our church brethren in Torun and Olsztyn. Both of these churches, we've had a privilege of being a part of and to see it grow. I'm not taking credit for getting Scandinavia. So anyway, we have had a great time having a part in seeing the Lord work in Poland. It has been marvelous in our eyes and, with, all the Bible project and everything that has been awesome. But mostly I want to start back here with Brother Lindell. Thank you for sticking to your guns in the beginning when you suffered through much persecution and trials. Whenever you wanted to get this church started, there was a lot of troubles and he had a thorn in the flesh, I'm sure, at that time. And it was not an easy thing, but you didn't let that thorn in the flesh defeat you. For trusting God that God's grace was sufficient to carry you through. And that is not an easy thing when maybe you feel alone, when there's nobody else to help you, when you're fighting the battles alone. But who would have thought that 50 years later, this church would have a great opportunity to be a part of the Polish culture as well as the Hispanic culture, and to see many, many people saved, and to see many churches in Mexico, and six churches now there's four that are actively going in Poland. And that has been marvelous in our eyes. Joe and I are thankful to have had the privilege to work with Josh and Magda for the last 17 years, working with grandkids, and it's been a pleasure to have grandkids around. I miss the 10 that are here, but I also am thankful that I have 4 that are there. We've seen the people come to know Christ and be baptized in Olsztyn, and looking forward to seeing the churches grow. We want to see 50 more people in every church, more people here, 50 more people here, 50 more in every single church that where the gospel is being preached. And that's my prayer that we have been praying for quite some time now, that God would bring in 50 more people, and at least, maybe more, but 3,000, but why you make it so short? But really, that's our prayer, 50 more people in each church. It's been a blessing to see a lot of these brothers and sisters now. As Magda had mentioned, this is a different church that we're started in Olsztyn. They were mature Christians that came in. They were ones that had already some idea of what it's like to be a Christian and what they're supposed to do. When they came into the church, they were ready to clean the church. They were after the meetings, they were ready to set up the chairs and take down the chairs. They were ready to help with the meals and do the Sunday school classes. And even a women's conference we had last year, and it went over really well. And you know, these sisters knew what needed to be done. It was a totally different church, and those that came to help and they got gifts from our brethren in the church, they were like, wow, we've never had this kind of a thing. And you know, the Couriers for Christ, when they came to help us, our church was able to give them a gift for coming. They were like, wow, we've never seen this, because usually they're the ones that are they're helping the missionary, and they don't get that kind of all the time. So it was this church has just been really a blessing, really different. And we're hoping to see more lost souls that would come in.
Yes.
And it's the brethren have kept up Sunday afternoon evangelism in Tarun, and the Bibles that are going out and people wanting to use the updated Gedanks Bible to quote in their books, to record audio, to use in Sunday school lessons and calendars. It's encouraging and exciting. But with all this, you know, with all this, the good that's going on in Poland, the devil tries to discourage us, to stir the pot, if I can say that. I've had this on my mind for a while, these verses. It's a diagram about things that are out of control and things that we can control. I'm sure you've seen that before. Things out of our control and things in our control. Many times we allow things that happen in our lives to decide for us whether we think we can be useful for God or not. And many times people think, no, I'm just not perfect. Well, guess what? Nobody is perfect. No one is perfect. God uses imperfect vessels for his glory. I know, because I'm one of them. We allow health or troubles, our past. And isn't that what it is? The past. So leave the past in the past. And it's our hearts and our minds that need to be renewed. With this topic of his grace is sufficient with a thorn in the flesh. That's what we have to consider many times. So 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 10. This was a verse that jumped out at me, and so this includes the thorn in the flesh. And it says, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Many times have I seen that his grace is sufficient for me, because I know my flesh is weak. I know, because I do have something that I suffer with that causes me to not think well, and I have to really understand that when I get a point across to somebody in Polish, I am rejoicing that it's God that gave it to me, that helped me through that, because Polish is not an English easy language for me. And even with this brain fog and all that going on with it, it just is sometimes difficult. But I am so thankful that God is able to use that, and he works through it, and I'm not going to give up. There are many times I say, I want to go home. But God says, no, you're not ready yet. Okay, so God says, serve me anyway with your infirmity. Serve me anyway. And, okay. So Paul's testimony here is that he went about to do the Lord's will and work. He had something that he had prayed and asked God to take away because he felt it was hindering his service, doing what he can, feeling useless, etc. It may have been how he felt. I've heard the statement before, don't despise the process. Meaning, you may be going through something that you don't understand, but God can get you through it and use it for his glory. Amen. And I was thinking of these different situations. So I thought of some people in the Bible whose lives that looked completely out of control, and how we can associate with them. But God used these people for his glory, at even going through their troubles. Like the woman that had five husbands. I think you know who she is. She knew her own sinful life. Her life was out of control. She knew all these things that she had done wrong. She couldn't make it right, but God could. And from her life that was out of control, five husbands, this woman at the well, Jesus saved her soul, and many others believed on him.
Amen.
Yeah, her life was out of control, but she understood who she was. God used her sin to show her who she was so that she could say, yeah, this is him. This is him. It wasn't a pleasant thing, God used her sin to show her who she was so that she could tell others. There's another one. I'm not going to do a whole lot of them because there's a lot of them in this Bible, so. But the second one I came up to was, he was a crippled man because his nurse fell with him. What was his future to be like for the rest of his life now? He had no control to change it. He thought of himself as a dead dog.
Mm-hmm.
But God.
Yes.
But God reminded David of his promise to Jonathan. I bet Mephibosheth didn't expect King David to invite him forever to sit at his table.
Yeah.
Saved to never hunger or thirst again. That's what our Jesus does for us.
Amen.
And that's what David did for Mephibosheth. Did he expect that? Was he sitting there going, yeah, King David's going to come visit me. I'm going to see the king. No, he's afraid of him. He was afraid he's going to kill him. He wasn't expecting anything good. And so, yeah, that was something. Then the next one was, she was accused of something without a cause. Can you guess who she was? Hannah. She was just in the temple praying for a baby. But Eli thought she was drunk because she was had her eyes closed and saying nothing. He thought she was drunk. She was like, what are you talking about? Why would I be in the temple drunk? You know, I can't even imagine. But anyway, she was barren. She only had God to run to. She had nobody to go to. Her husband was like, don't you know I'm better than 10 sons? She's like, yeah, but I want a baby. Yeah, you are, but can I have a baby? And God heard her and blessed her and gave her Samuel and many more after that because she asked for him of the Lord and gave him back to the Lord.
Amen.
These men were on their way to prayer. That's an innocent thing to be doing. Yeah. Paul and Silas were minding their own business and a possessed girl that they needed to silence because she was really bugging them. And they did because she was making them money, but her masters were angry at them because they silenced her and healed her. Well, that was a nice thing for them to do to her. Take away this devil that was in her. But they beat them and put them in jail. Now, that doesn't look like a pleasant situation either. No questions asked. They put them in jail and that's it. Of course, later on they regretted that because then they felt like they were Romans. But what did Paul and Silas do? They sang and praised God, and God saved the jailer and his whole family. And who knows how many more people were saved after that? We don't even know. We'll never know. But you know, his grace is sufficient with a thorn in your flesh. And I'm thinking, okay, Lord, you've just got to do that with me too. Yes. Health issues. The man by the pool of Bethesda was laying there for 38 years. We've been in Poland for 30. Add 8 more years. That seems like forever and eternity. Truly, he had no hope and no way of getting out of there. Always someone else first. But Jesus walked by, didn't touch him, didn't do anything, spoke to him and said, rise, take up thy bed and walk. Yeah, that caused a little bit of problem too. That caused a little bit of ruckus later on with him. But, you know, he was honest. He said, I don't know who the guy was. Someone came and told me to take up my bed and walk, and I did. Praise the Lord. God is able to use him. He had a problem. God did it for him. I have so many others that I could share, but that were totally out of control. But in each situation, did their thorn in the flesh draw them closer to God, or did it push them away? And we have to ask ourselves that. Is this problem drawing me closer to him, or is it making me go away and not want to serve and be bitter and angry at him for all that he's doing? My question is for you and me is, the things that are out of control, your thorn in the flesh, does it encourage you to serve him more? Or does it give the devil the victory to drive you away from him and you become bitter and angry and do not want to serve him anymore? And then the last thing that I was thinking about was the things in your control. We do have control over a few things. Not completely, God, but we can. How much you read your Bible? How much I pray? Am I steadfast in witnessing? Choosing to walk by faith, not sight. My actions or reactions, how do I react to them? How I can encourage others and what I think on. These things are really, the last one I was looking at, what I think on, oh, many times the devil just comes in and says, remember that, what you did? Remember? And I'm going, oh, Lord, I'm so ashamed. Help me, Lord. And then he says, my grace is sufficient.
Amen.
You're covered by the blood. And I think, you're right, Lord.
Right.
I must remember that daily. And then because we are weak, because when we are weak, he is strong.
Amen.
My prayer for you is Ephesians 3, 16 through 20. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you be rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, this is my favorite, right, Corey? Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.